Turn to the prophet Jeremiah. Even if rulers do not hear. You've heard me tell of my visits to the U.S. congressmen, and I've urged you folks to contact local politicians and your state legislators and so on. And I know that there are always some who have said or will say, well, they won't listen anyway. You or we or whoever talks to them is simply wasting time. So we are going to read about a prophet who had what on the surface appears to be the most unproductive mission to rulers and leaders in a nation, Jeremiah, who went to the civil rulers and leaders in the nation of Judah prior to the Babylonian captivity, and these people refused to hear him. So he didn't accomplish anything, or did he? So let's read some of this. And we'll first start in Jeremiah 33. You realize, of course, there's page after page here of Jeremiah talking to the people in the Judah kingdom. And we'll be reading some of this where he talks directly to the king near the end, just before the Babylonian army has then conquered the whole nation. And as the captivity comes, in spite of going to the king, Jeremiah actually ends up, as we'll see, in prison and other places where his life is in danger and so on. Now, he's already in prison here in Jeremiah 33, put there by the king, and then we read of Jeremiah in the first verse, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying," and then there's quite a long prophecy about what would happen to the Judah kingdom, and it also includes this, beginning in verse 19. "And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, If ye can break my covenant of the day, and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Consider thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord has chosen, he hath even cast them off. So Jeremiah is told here by God that you know these people, or some people are saying, that God has cast off these two families. He hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. So he's accusing the ones who say God has cast off the two families he's chosen as despising God's people. Thus saith the Lord, If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. So this was given through Jeremiah the prophet to the Judah kingdom, but of course this was in effect a rebuke to those who might say that since God was putting them in captivity, he has cast them off. And in effect, what he's saying is that unless God Almighty is not the ruler over all the earth and the creation, the creator of the heavens and the earth, then, of course, he could or would cast off the seed of Israel. Now, you'll notice through the prophet here, he referred to two people or two families. Turn to Isaiah 8, because this brings up a question in the minds of some of our folks who do not know the history of Israel. When you say, oh, there are two houses of Israel, and they don't know what you're talking about. You mentioned there are two families. Isaiah 8, another prophet is exhorting Israel. Verse 13, Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So here's another prophet who recognized there were two houses of Israel, and of course in Ezekiel we know there is supposed to be a reuniting of the stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah. So there was a separation, and there were two kingdoms. And I just added that in here because today it is common teaching that there's only one family, and that family constitutes the people known as the Jews, and most of the people who've been told that do not even know that there were two families, two Israel kingdoms. All right, back to Jeremiah. I wanted to begin with that wonderful promise that if God is not the creator of the heavens and the earth, then God will or just might cast away the seed of Jacob. However, if he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, of course it follows that he will not ever cast away the seed of Jacob, his chosen. That's a very reassuring prophecy or promise to me, and I want you to keep that in mind as we read this story of Jeremiah going to this Judah kingdom, because Jeremiah's mission to the Judah kingdom is simply one failure after another. He seems to accomplish nothing, and in the end, God casts them away into the Babylonian captivity. So you follow with me, and we'll see whether Jeremiah wasted his time or whether he was foolish to carry out such a mission and fail. Jeremiah 36, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. So it's going to be quite a writing. He's telling Jeremiah to write down and put in print all of the things that God has spoken to him against Israel, and which he's spoken over a number of years. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Now there's a multitude of doctrine in that verse. Some of that we were discussing this morning in the class before the church about forgiveness, about even ourselves forgiving people or God forgiving people. But notice here, God is talking about his forgiveness of these people, but it's predicated on that they may return every man from his evil way. So there must be a repentant and a turning. Otherwise, God will simply not allow this Israel nation to continue in sin and then keep them in the land and bless them. This was to be written out so that they might, or at least they could hear it. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. So remember, Jeremiah is shut up in prison here. So he's having the scribe write this, and then of course the scribe is the one who has to take it because Jeremiah can't leave. And I might interject a thought here. Is it possible that this prophet Jeremiah, who is now dead, shut up in the prison of death, as it were, his writings are here for us? Perhaps we should be like the scribe Baruch and take them to Israel. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou, and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. So the scribe is instructed to go to all of the kingdom, all the people in the kingdom. He's to go on a fast day when they would all be in the city and or at the temple where they would hear this. Verse 8, And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house, and it came to pass in the fifth year. Now notice, in verse 1, it says it came to pass in the fourth year that God spoke to Jeremiah. So a whole year has passed, and I'm not sure whether it means that Baruch was preaching for a whole year, or whether it's possible it took a good share of that time just to write this down, because remember, there were years of prophecy that had to be put in this print. But anyway, this is not something that could be done on an instant. It was a large task, writing this down, and then, of course, having to read it all over again to these people. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. So it's going to be read from a written scroll to all of these people in Judah who, by the way, have been hearing this from Jeremiah for years. This is old stuff. This has been told to them over and over. It's not been put in written form, apparently, until this was done at this one time. But these people are hearing that same message: turn and obey God, and then he'll bless you in the land that he gave to your fathers. And I suppose by then he was sounding like a broken record, and these people would desire to hear some new thing. Anyway, listen to what takes place here. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. So someone who heard this prophecy of Jeremiah against Judah, against all these things that God had pronounced against this kingdom of Judah, has now gone down to take this to all of the princes. And by the way, you know, it mentions Zedekiah there, who later we'll find out is made king over this nation. So he hears it before he ascends to the throne. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. So these are people close to the king now, princes and the elders, in other words, the civil rulers in the nation, who are now hearing all of this prophecy delivered to them by a scribe or a messenger. Verse 14, therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. Now we have a direct invitation to the messenger from the prophet, the one who has this written judgment upon the nation, is to come down to all of these civil rulers. Verse 15, and they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. How about that? He has read the prophecy of God, the judgment of God upon the nation, and he's scared them. They're afraid. They must have believed what they were hearing. Now remember, what they were hearing was God's prophecy that if they continued to disobey his law, statutes, and judgment, he was going to raise up Babylon and bring the nation of the Chaldeans against the city of Jerusalem and destroy it, burn it with fire. This is what they heard. And it frightened them. Now, they would not have been frightened if they had not believed it. Do you follow me? They believed it. It isn't a case of them rejecting and say, oh, this is nonsense. You couldn't have brought this from God. They were frightened. And they said, the king is going to have to hear this. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. Now think about this. Jeremiah has been preaching this for years. This is no new thing. He's been traveling up and down Judea and in the city of Jerusalem. In fact, he preached this so much, that's why he's in prison. He's been put there to shut him up. And now, finally, the highest civil officials in the nation except the king hear a written copy of all of these prophecies that Jeremiah has got from God, and they're so frightened that they say, we're going to have to tell the king this, and then they tell Baruch, well, you and Jeremiah better go hide. This is serious stuff. Don't let anyone know where you are. Verse 20. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elisha, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. They apparently felt it was necessary to prepare the king a little, so they didn't take the actual writing in with them. They went into the king and they said, Your Highness, we've heard all of this and we'd like to have you hear this. So I suppose you'd call that diplomacy or something. They didn't bring the physical Bible into the presence of the king. They just went in and talked about it. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king. So now the king is hearing this written directly from the roll that Baruch wrote at the instruction of the prophet of God. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now this is, of course, the ultimate. This is the thing that we keep saying we would like to do. We would like to take the Bible and the Word of God, the prophecies, and all the promises to Israel, to the chief civil ruler in the nation of America. We have not accomplished that yet. We've hardly gotten into but a few of the offices of some of the higher civil officials. And here in the ancient Judah kingdom, after this was finally put in writing and taken to the people and heard by the scribes and the princes, now it's gone right up and the king is being read this thing right out of the writing. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth, and there was a fire in the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. So here we finally success. We've got the message to the king. It's in writing. And even though it's read to him, as he hears it, it's burned up. It's all cut out, burned up in the flame. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Isn't that something? All of this work, Jeremiah in prison, Baruch writes this, takes it to the nation, gets a copy in the hands of the civil officials. They are so startled by what they read, they take it to the king. And the man who reads it to the king, he reads it, and then when he finishes reading it, he cuts it up and throws it in the fire. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. Some of these men recognized apparently the seriousness of this thing, and they tried to stop the burning, but he would not hear them. So what does that mean? It means the king sat there hearing all of this prophecy that Jeremiah and Baruch had worked so hard to get to him, and he let them burn it up right in his presence. And then he goes on. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamalek, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdil, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. What was the result of all this work? Well, the king heard all of the word of God, and the first thing he apparently did, except, you know, allowing the Bible, as it were, to be burned up in his presence, was to issue an order to arrest these men who had brought this message. And it says, but the Lord hid them. Now think about that. Jeremiah was in the king's prison. The king was the man who had put him there. And yet they couldn't find him. They couldn't find him to arrest him again. Now you remember these things as I read about what happened to Jeremiah as we go along, because we're going to be reading about a ministry which seemingly was totally useless. All sorts of things that he did, he took the word of God to the top officials in the nation. They heard it. What did they do? Send out to arrest him. But God hid him. Verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. Oh, you mean Jeremiah's got to do this all over again? He's already got a warrant for his arrest out. I don't know whether it's a, you know, reward, dead or alive, Jeremiah the prophet, but at least it's an order from the king for his arrest and possibly his life. And here comes God again to Jeremiah and says, well, Jeremiah, they burned the old one up. You go write this again. Now remember, there was over a year that passed between the first time and when it reached the king, possibly as much as a year and 9 months. All of this time and this work, useless, gone, and God says, do it over again. Now, I know a lot of us would probably begin to argue with God at that point. And you know, these Antichrist people who make movies in Hollywood, I've not seen anything but excerpts of them once in a while on advertisements on television, but have you ever noticed that they make God sound like kind of a bumbling idiot, and whoever his missionary is on earth has to argue with God and say, well, no, you can't do it that way. You know, we tried this and it didn't work. Don't you know that? And the man seems to have more intelligence than God does. He knows if it doesn't work, it isn't going to work. Well, this is almost a case where you could make a movie and say, well, Jeremiah, I guess you might as well argue it's all been futile and it simply hasn't worked, and here God wants you to do it again. Verse 29. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord. Now remember, the original roll was all of the prophecies against Judah, and it was written for the entire kingdom, including the king. But now it's going to be rewritten with a special message to the king. You say to this king, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall surely come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast? Remember, that's what the prophecy was. The prophecy that the king heard was a disaster, a coming disaster to the nation of Judah. Defeat in war, conquest, captivity for the people. That's what the prophecy was. But God's going to speak back to that king directly. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. So now, in addition to the prophecy that the Judah kingdom will go into captivity in Babylon, is a specific prophecy to the king who refused to hear it, that you, the king, will be taken into Babylon himself and will be humbled, and none of his seed will sit upon the throne of David. Remember, he's on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. So this time, it's got to be longer. God is going to do it again. And then the next chapter goes on with the phrase, and King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of. So it's obvious that there is something missing here. Apparently, in the prophet here, it does not tell what happened between Jehoiakim and Zedekiah. So we're going to have to turn to 2 Chronicles 36 and read out of the history books to see whether God's judgment on this king who burned the roll did come to pass. 2 Chronicles 36, we'll begin reading in verse 5. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Remember, Jeremiah had told him, or God had told Jeremiah to write these extra words in there, saying to Jehoiakim, you will be taken to Babylon. Here's the historical record. Nebuchadnezzar also carried off the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abomination which he did and that which was found in him, behold, they are written in the books of the kings of Israel and Judah, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, the fulfillment is taking place as far as the king. He's gone to Babylon, but remember there was a prophecy that his seed would not sit upon the throne of David, and here in 2 Chronicles we find that his seed did sit upon the throne. Verse 9, Jehoiakim, this is the son, was 8 years old when he began to reign. Now in 2 Kings 24, it says he was 18. And one of these is a mistranslation. We'll have to assume it's this one because it says here he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, we hardly can accuse an 8-year-old of doing evil, but the other account says he was 18, which he was. Now, this is the son of the king. And when the year was expired, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. So to heap disgrace upon Jehoiakim, God allowed his son to sit on the throne for 3 months, and then he too was taken to Babylon. There is a possibility of misunderstanding here in 2 Chronicles, because it says the king of Babylon made his brother. And you don't know whether this is the brother of the son or the brother of the original king. So turn to 2 Kings 24, and we'll get this straightened up so you understand that God did end his line on the throne of David. 2 Kings 24, beginning in verse 15. And he carried away Jehoiakim, and this is the son, the young man, to Babylon, and the king's mother, and the king's wives, and his officers, and the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen, and smithy 1,000, all that were strong and apt for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah his father's brother. So this is actually the brother of Jehoiakim, the one who had pronounced upon him that his seed would not sit on the throne of David. The king of Babylon made Mattaniah his father's brother king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. And then we come to Zedekiah on the throne. So, the prophecy that Jeremiah was given by God Almighty about Jehoiakim, that he would be taken to Babylon and that he would not have any of his seed sit on the throne of David, has now come to pass. God has removed the son and put the king's brother on the throne. So, as far as the throne of David is concerned, the line of Jehoiakim ended there. For what? As a punishment for not listening to the Word of God when it was brought to him personally and read in his ears. Now, at this point, I remind you that Jeremiah seems to have totally failed in his mission, because if his mission was to take the Word of God to the king and have the king turn, it didn't happen. If his mission was to take the Word of God to the king, then it did happen, didn't it? Turn back to the first chapter of Jeremiah before we go on in the story of Jeremiah. And this is the call to the prophet to go to the nation of Judah, chapter 1, verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So this really was Jeremiah's mission to do what? Go to them and speak to them what God said. It wasn't Jeremiah's mission that they should turn or that they should repent. That was entirely in the hands of God. The mission was to take the word. Now the word was, in chapter 1 here, where God came unto him in verse 13, came unto me a second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land, for lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah, and I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own gods. And then he tells Jeremiah, This judgment which I pronounce upon them, that's my word that you're to take to Judah. Too often we think that a minister, or a missionary, or an evangelist, or a prophet has failed if the people he speaks to do not listen and obey. That's not true. He only fails if he doesn't take it after God commands him to take it. Do you follow me? Now, some of the people I know, they write me letters, and they talk to me on the phone, and they say, Pastor Emery, you're wasting your time talking to those people. They will not hear. Well, I don't care whether they'll hear or not. That's not my mission to make them hear. My mission is to take it to them, and if they will not hear, then it's in the hands of God. Now, that's all Jeremiah was told to do. Verse 18 and 19 of chapter 1, For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now notice, he did not say to Jeremiah, I am with you to deliver Judah. He said, I'm with you to take a prophecy that Judah is going to be captured. And while you're taking that, I, God Almighty, will deliver you, Jeremiah. That's the only prophecy of deliverance that was given here. There never was any prophecy of Jeremiah that these people would turn and obey God and be delivered. They were told over and over they would be taken into captivity. Well, anyway, the small prophecy, as it were, of Jehoiakim being taken to Babylon and losing the inheritance in the throne of David, of course, has come to pass. Let's go back to Jeremiah 37, verse 1 now, because now we have the new king Zedekiah on the throne of Judah. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land, did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. No answer. The prophet has preached, the scribe has taken the message, and everyone has refuse to listen, and then listen to what they do. This king who will not listen and obey the word of God. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehuchal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." You know, as I read that, I thought of the day of the attempted assassination on our president. How many of you noticed that almost everyone who made some comment about this or about the president's condition or about the other men would end up in some way or other talking about, "We'll have to pray," or "All we can do is pray," or "We want you to pray." No mention of any possibility that our problem is disobedience to God's word. You would think all of our problems are because we don't pray. And whenever we get in trouble, all we have to do is pray. Now this evil, wicked Zedekiah, the king of Judah, who would not hear the word of the Lord, made a special attempt to come to the prophet who brought the word of the Lord, and he said, "Jeremiah, will you pray for us?" You see, we think we can go on in our wicked ways and we can continue to defy God and do anything we want to do and we'll be all right if, when we get in trouble, we'll pray. And you know, I'm not discounting prayer, but I'm telling you, according to the Word of God, God wants obedience. And that's the message that Jeremiah brought. And wicked people, now you even heard these Jewish newscasters, whom the Reverend Bailey Smith, who's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said that God does not hear their prayers. You even heard them talk about praying to God on the television during that day after President Reagan was shot. You see, everyone, even the most wicked people, in a time of stress, sometimes only to get your approval. You see, they were playing to the audience. It isn't necessary they were playing to God. Zedekiah might have done this just to get Jeremiah's favor. Maybe he thought Jeremiah had such an in with God that he, Zedekiah, could go on in his sin and iniquity, but if Jeremiah, the good guy, prayed to God, then the wicked guy would be saved. No, I'm sorry, that is not the way it works. And yet men will do that, even in this time of great trouble. All right, verse 4. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him in prison. So here Jeremiah's loose again. He's been under sentence or a warrant for his arrest under the previous king, and a few months have gone by, and now he's loose again. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Now I'm going to just recap the history here without reading it for you, because remember, this is prophecies, this is not all of the history. What had happened is the king of Judah had made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, asking his help in the war against Babylon, which had been going on for several years now. And the Egyptian army had come, and when they showed up, the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, who were surrounding Jerusalem, heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. So everything is all right, isn't it? Even though the Judah kingdom didn't obey God and didn't turn and repent, the Chaldean armies, which God said he would send against Jerusalem, have now gone. They've departed. Or isn't God through yet? Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, Behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again." They've left now, they're going to come back. They're going to come back. "And the Chaldeans shall come again, and fight against this city, and take it, and burn it with fire." You see, the Judean people had probably thought they had been saved. Here Jeremiah, for years, has been preaching, the Chaldeans are going to come, and take this city and burn it with fire. And the Chaldeans have come. They've actually captured the king. They took him to Babylon. They put his son on the throne, took him to Babylon, and put another king on the throne. And now their armies have all left. The communists have been defeated, and they've left America, and we've won. I suppose that's what Zedekiah thought, so God's going to have to set him straight again. Prophet, go to the prophet, you tell him again. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. And listen to this. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up, every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire. Now you think on that as you listen to the preachers of this day who tell us what we have to do is get a strong military. We have to get the MX missile and the B-1 bomber, and we've got to have the draft. And when we get all these things, we're going to be able to defy the red communist hordes, and they'll never cause us any problem. I'm telling you that God has decreed in His Word that the red Bolsheviks will invade this country and there'll be a war here, and I don't care if they all leave one time, they're going to come back if they do. God had decreed that Judah would be captured and Jerusalem burned with fire, and God said, I don't care if you fight against these communists and you kill most of them and you wound all the rest. They're going to rise up in their tents and they're going to burn this city with fire. You know that verse of Scripture, Jeremiah 37:10, to me is one of the most startling verses in all the Bible. If we could get that through our heads that God Almighty means what He says when He tells us what will happen to us if we do not obey, the greatest revival would sweep this nation you ever saw. If we believe that one thing, then God does what He says He's going to do. And He causes men and armies and nations to obey His prophecy. Now, God willing, we'll continue next week because there's more to this great battle and mission of Jeremiah to the Judah kingdom. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank You for these prophecies and also the history that proves to us that Your word is true and You cause things to come to pass upon the earth according to Thy word. We thank You for it. We pray now that You'll help each of us to see these great truths that we are Your messengers, and yet the events that follow our carrying Your message are in Your hands, not in ours, and we praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.